Fine. So, okay. Yeah, so three sugas here in the third digest. We'll do our best. I know it's late. Okay, in that case,
right.
then
that
makes us almost have to go to sleep.
Okay, fine. So let's start with Zeyabama. Right, so I'm going to structure it a little bit differently. So we have Argamar. So let's just focus on, let's make sure we have the pieces first. I think if we don't have the pieces down, it's very confusing. Right, so in the Gemara in Brachos, we have, right, on Lama Chasimad Aleph, right, Rav Ashi saying that Dosha the Tamri is Ashahakol, because, and right, his svar is because it's Zeyab Alma, and that's linked to the Shita of Rav Yeshua that says that for when you consume a liquid of Truma, so you're Pater from Karen B'chomish, except in the case of Tir Shvi Yatzar. Fine. So that's our sugya, right? So not so clear exactly what the Zeyab Alma means. It's just that's the term that's thrown out. But whatever it means, let's get it clear, it's a shahakol. Whatever Zeyab Alma is a shahakol, and it's tied into the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, not Shita's Rabbi Lazar, who have that machlokas there by Truma. Right, so their machlokas, right, and its place is in Chulin. Right, in Chulin, right, we have this long sugya in regards to crushing a davar iser in terms of whether the isers remained in the crushed liquefied form. So, and there in that sugya we have the machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua, which is rooted in the in a split in terms of darshaning between domina mina and domina ukva asa. Right, so those, just to explain what those concepts are. Right, those concepts are domina mina, is that we have by truma the pasuk limits truma to tirsh v'yitzar, to grapes and olive, or to wine and oil, which come from grapes and olive, obviously. And by bikurim it has a more inclusive lashon of tavi lirvos kol peres, fine, to include everything. So now the question is, once those two are linked, by a drasha, like Zer Shava between, I believe it was Zer Shava, I don't remember exactly what it was, but there's a link between Trum and Bikurim. So then the question becomes, Dumina Mina, meaning when you're going to derive from Bikurim to Truma, so then is that going to be Dumina, you're going to derive from it that there's Kedusha, but that's going to be limited to the cases in which Truma is talked about explicitly, meaning Tirshav Yitzar, or, and that's Rav Yeshua, or Dumina, or sorry, that's Dumina Ukva, sorry. Flip that. That's domain of Okiba Asra, right? Like derive from it, but leave every other din in its place, right? Versus, and then that goes back to Bikurim, and that's how, right, just to make clear, it's not domain of Okiba Asra that's limited Bikurim to Tirshav Yitzar. That's a drasha back from Truma to Bikurim. The domain of Okiba Asra or domain of Mina is in regards from Bikurim to Truma. So, and then Rabbi Lazar holds domain of Mina, right, which is derive it fully, right, in every regard, right, learn from it and from it, literally, but meaning like take away everything, and therefore he applies all peros, the chiyuv of all peros, but we call him to truma, even though the Torah limits it to tirshav yetzar. So that's machlokas there. So, and then finally, the last piece of the Gemara, Pesachim says that the reasoning behind Rabbi Yeshua's split between, grape and olive oil on the one hand having truma versus every other Paris not having Kedushas Truma or Kedushas Bikurim or Orla is due to our term Zeyab Alma. So now how do all these pieces fit together? Right? So firstly, right, let's start, right, we mostly focus on the Rashba here and then also the Ravid. Let's start with the Rashba, and then even though the Ravid came up in the packet like in the beginning, but I'm gonna come back to the Ravid. So let's start with the Rashba. Right, so the Rashi basically says, right, he feels the need he pins one camp of Rashi, one camp of Tosos, but either way, he feels the need to define the category of Tirshav Yitzar with, a definitional factor that could therefore be extrapolated. For Rashi, that's, that alva and wine uniquely are planted for those liquids, the grapes and olives are planted for the liquids. And for Tosos, it's really based on Tosos Rabbi Yehuda. Right. Yeah. Sorry.
I thought that was the Rashba's definition of the Tirshav Yitzar. Rashi was about those Nosul Lamashkin.
Yeah, that's what it means.
No,
that they're
planted.
Oh, saying the Rashi just explains Rashi Svara?
Yeah, the Rashi is presenting Rashi Svara. But is it, wait, meaning, I think Nisim Lamashka means that it's, that's, you're right, Nisim Lamashka, but that's, Nisim Lamashka means that when you, that when you plant it, what the purpose of these, you know, of these fruits is for their Mashka.
Okay, so just defining it.
Yeah, but right, it's the Rashi speaking out in Rashi.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah, that's definitely true. And then for Tosos, is that it's really a Tosos Rabbeinu Yehuda, but that there was an Ishtani Leluya, that there was an improvement for the better. So what's interesting, right, is that we've seen that, you know, based on the Gemara's data, both in Chulin and in Pesachim, even though Pesachim gives, you know, the reasoning of Zeyba Alma, which the Rashba is at pains to say, is a time of Dekra, so it's still a Gzeres HaKasev. So, you know, two corollary questions are, A, so first of all, why does he feel the need to give this definition for Gzeres HaKasev? And maybe that alone, you could say, okay, so fine. So he's just like kind of giving, you know, the corollary, meaning the time of the krah of the things that are not truma in their liquid form. The Gemara in Pesachim says Zeyb Alma. So he just wants to give the time of the krah of like the corollary of things that, you know, that of Teresh V'Yetzar that do maintain their truma. And he gives his reasoning. So maybe that alone would not be a problem. But once he's willing to extrapolate those into potentially other examples that fit in those categories, so that's very strange. If it's really just a time of the krah, so, you know, that gets into the whole. We're assuming that he's not holding like Rabbi Shimon, who holds Dorash Time of Dekra here. And again, there's no reason to assume that the Rasha is putting into these Tanayim that Shita. So why does he feel a need, and then how is he able to provide a reason and extrapolate based upon that? And even if there's no examples necessary to extrapolate based off of, first of all, those could be subjective and it could change over time. But also, even if there's no examples, the fact that he's willing to do so is already fascinating. Secondly, and for most Rishonim, excluding the Rambam, potentially the Ravid, the only fruits which are chayev in Truma are Tirish Yitzar and then also Dagon. So, right, olives, grapes, and wheat. So once that's true, which case, right? We have this machlokas about how to darshan from Vikorim to Truma. Do we not? But there are all the other cases of Truma that Rabbi Lazar is expanding to, and Rabbi Yeshua was saying don't expand to, are cases of Truma Derabanan, right? All other pairs are only Chayav Derabanan. So what is this machlokas on a deraisa level, which is really only applying to deraisa? So Rashi. And Tosas in Bechoros kind of gets out of this question, but he says it's not really true because there is some sort of liquid that you could, you know, crush out of grain, and therefore that's basically the whole machlokas. The real machlokas is in, I mean, the scope of the machlokas applies to Truma Derabanan also, and that's where that would have many more nafkaminas in all other fruits, right? But in, you know, the real machlokas on a deraisa level is in regards to this, this grain liquid thing. I don't really know what that means, but whatever. But Rashi here in Chulin addressed the question differently, and he says, no, it's just to create a Kain Deraisa paradigm, which is then used to formulate and to parallel, meaning that their abundance is then parallels that Deraisa. But the Deraisa doesn't really exist. It's just this, you know, Platonic paradigm of a Kain Deraisa, which is a fascinating thing, and it's not something that we're used to. And we'd like an explanation, like, what's driving, I mean, Rashi's really just explaining the pashas of the sugya, but what's really going behind Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua? How do they get to this? How are they having this machlokas, which only exists on this this plane, which doesn't really apply to anything? And then finally, given that Tirush V'Yitzar are, this is somewhat of a similar question, but it's different, and I think the difference is critical, that given that Tirush V'Yitzar are the only cases that are chayev, so we just ask, okay, so if they're the only kids that are chayav by truma, so then, you know, what's the machlokas going on? Everything else is derabanan anyway. Now, you could ask a different question, which is, if they're the only cases which are chayav, so the Torah is saying that Tirush V'Yitzar are, you know, those have a, their liquid is it has kedushas truma and then, can, you know, limits bikurim, but everything else doesn't. So maybe it only mentioned them because those are the cases which are chayav. Meaning, if grapes and olives are the only fruits that are chayav, so obviously the only liquids that could potentially be chayav are grapes and are you know, wine and olive oil. So what? Why is the Torah even coming on to? Or what? Not why is the Torah coming on to? Why? How can we darshan this as a mute? In as much as there's no extraneous nature of the pasuk, because it's just saying those are the. This is where we know that it's limited to grapes and olives in the first place. And meaning of Rashi even addresses the further questions, which is well, once the Torah says that those are the cases which are chayav, so what's the drasha even doing? Then he addresses by saying, no, maybe that you would only, the Torah would only be talking about when you first crush the grapes and olives or whatever, and you make them into wine and oil respectively, and then you kor hashem truma on the liquid form, but it wouldn't necessarily apply to when it's crushed, when you crush a grape or an olive, which is already truma. So that Rashi addresses. But how do we know, how do we still make that second drasha? Maybe, yeah, the Torah only talks, only gives this, you know, new chiddush that even when you crush them, the kedusha is maintained. But it just, had other fruits been chayav, that would also be true. It just only talks about it by the fruits which are chayav. So, A, how do we know by, you know, truma derabanan not to apply it for Rabbi Yeshua? Why, how do we not say that the liquid is not kadosh? And then the more important question is, how do we derive that over to Bikurim? How does Rabbi Yeshua drive that over to Bikurim, which is for sure Dereisa? And we don't really know that this mute is a Tremia. So, fine. So Rabbi wants to basically say it like this. We want to say that, and the way to address these problems is basically saying that there's a real conceptual machlokas going on between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lazar. And that's, even though it plays out in the world of Truma, where that's really manifesting is in the world of Bikurim Dereisa. And what is that machlokas? So there's two different ways to understand how a mashke could have kedusha. You could say michoy pri kapri, that when you crush up the pri, it's still considered, the liquid is still considered like the original form. Or you could say that no, it's a new thing. It's not the pri anymore. But that pri also has kedusha. And it's not because it was the grape. It's not the grape's kedusha. It's the wine's kedusha. But that wine has its own kedusha. So the first svara only makes sense if you're going to apply it to everything, right? Meaning, you can't say that, it doesn't make sense to say that when you crush up some fruits, they're like the original fruit, but when you crush up other fruits, it's not like the original fruits. Is a crushed form like the original form or not? That's a general principle that should apply to all fruits. So it's compelling to say the Rebbe Lazar holds. Yeah, Michoy Pri Kapri. All fruits in their crushed form are still considered the fruit. Whereas for Rebbe Yeshua, it's compelling to say that, or really you have to say, inasmuch as he's making a distinction, that he holds Michoy Pri Lav Kapri. And then the Kedusha is stemming from a new Kedusha on the Shem Mashkin of wine and oil. And every liquid has a new Shem Mashkin, and the Torah just limits the kedusha on to those new, to these particular new Shem Mashkin. So that's going to be this idea is going to really help address all of our issues, because now we're saying that yeah, really they're not arguing on Truma Dereisa, but they are arguing on Bikurim Dereisa. They're arguing when Bikurim Dereisa for all other fruits, for all Bikurim. When you crush it up, is that still like the fruit or not? So Rabbi Elazar is saying, yes, that still is the fruit. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying, no, that's not the fruit. And that's their machlokas. Now, that's going to have an akamina, because the Torah specifies in Truma, Tirash V'Yitzar, so we see that the Torah's mechadesh, that the Shem Mashkin of wine and oil has a kedusha to it. But we don't run into this problem that we were saying before, that oh, maybe the Torah only talks about them because those are the only cases that are chayav. Because that's not really the source. The source is really that, meaning, inasmuch as the Torah only specifies those, it's saying that these have a new shame kedusha and nothing else. But that's not like a, that's not a mute. That's, Rabbi Yeshua is starting from, you know, from nothing. I think that's the difference. That's a critical difference. Meaning, before, I think the way we're understanding, the kasha was coming from a perspective of, you know, really everything should be chayav, and then like Tirash Yitzar is a mute. So then our problem is, what do you mean? It's not a mute. That's just, those are the only cases that are chayav. How is that a mute? But now we're saying, no. Rabbi Yeshua is not coming from you know, the most inclusive place that everything should be until we have a mute. He's coming from nothing. Saying, Michoy Pri Lav Kapri. There's no nothing really should, no mashkin should be, you know, have a new shem kedusha. Then, but the Torah says the Tirah Shishi Sadru have shem kedusha. Okay, fine. So that tells me that those do. But, you know, ein bo el kedusha. We can't expand it further than, one second. Yeah. We can't expand it further than what we know because the Torah is only telling, you know, the Torah says these things have shem kedusha, but nothing else. So, but that's not a mute. That's almost a reboy of Tirah Shishi Yitzar, having a shem kedusha. Yeah?
So, in other words, the Torah says anything that's a mashka anything that's a mashka is elevated, right? And is kadosh. And then the Torah.
What do you mean by that? It's kadosh or it's unique and distinct from the original fruit?
Unique and distinct and is therefore kadosh.
No, not therefore kadosh.
Just let me finish. Okay. Right, and then the Torah defines what the shemashka is, i.e. by the reboy of Tirah Shvi Yitzar.
No, but I think that's exactly the problem because if you look at it as everything is has kadosh, and then Tirah Shvi Yitzar is how is Tirah Shvi Yitzar a reboy in that case?
No. Everything else is not a mashka. Only those things are a mashka. And once it's a mashka, it's kadosh. Everything else is micha free lav kafri. And the Torah says, but the Torah says if you, the Torah says that it, that whatever it is, the Torah elevates those things to a status of mashka, which is there for kadosh. And I need the reboy.
Okay, what's the difference between saying that way? As I was saying, Michlef Rilav Kapri, everything's not a pri, but rather a mashka, and then Torah saying there's only kedusha for these mashka, not every other mashka.
Correct. That's enough.
Right, and therefore, you can't say what you're saying. Meaning, what would the bracha on a mashkin be?
Shahakol, because there'll be. Meaning, the only things that are mashka are tir shviyatzah.
No, but you just said that. But why not say everything is a mashka? You just said that the bracha on a mashka is a shahakol. So what's the problem with making everything a mashka? Okay, so, are there any questions that we missed?
It was very good.
Right. Yeah. You sharpen me every day.
I appreciate that.
And that's on White Torah.
Wow. I'm famous now.
Alan is on White Torah.
Are you using White Torah page?
No. It's on... Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Any questions were asked by Alan?
Okay, so...
Should we speak up more in
Shia? Okay. I don't know if we addressed all the questions, but I'm just going to go to the rabbit after that. But I think we addressed all the questions. So, fine. So let's talk about the rabbit, right? So the Rasha presents the rabbit as saying that... Right, first this goes to the Shakataria of the rabbit, and then the questions and the approach. Try to do it quickly. So the Ravid says that really Rabbi Yeshua is not taloi in a svar of Zeva Amal, it's just a gzeras hakasef. So the Rashba asks on him, he says, I don't understand. The Gemara in Brachos explicitly links Rav Ashi's, you know, din by Brachos, which he says is based on Zeva Amal, to the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. So how can you say that he's not? That he's not due to Zeva Amman, and he answers, the Rashi answers to the Ravid. Again, we don't have the Ravid, so it's not exactly clear what the Ravid said and what the Rashi is saying, but we're going to, you know, try and understand the Ravid as presented by the Rashba, which is that what exactly what the Ravid said? I have no idea, but that's what we have. So fine. So so the Rashba says, no, Rav Ashi was talking about a case of Zov Me'elav, that the juice just flowed out of the fruit on its own. That Rav Yeshua agrees. Aval kitchan lo, but in the case where you crush it, no, right? Simple way of understanding that is that in the case of where you crush it, Rav Ashi does not agree with Rabbi Yeshua, and that's why Rabbi Yeshua is not due to Zev Amma. Now we're going to ultimately reread that. That's why I emphasize exactly how the Rashba says it, but that's definitely the simple read. Then the Rashba asks, okay, but why then if it's really a case of Zov Me'elav, and it's not, you know, and maybe it's not exactly like the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, so, and it really isn't tied to the Zemachol because about, you know, Zeba Alma, but rather Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar just had this milk was in Xeris Akasiv. So, who's the Rabbi Elazar argues in a case of Zov Me'elav? Maybe he also thinks that a case of Zov Me'elav is Shahakal. To which he answers, no, in Echonami, like, it's a suffix what he holds, what Rabbi Elazar holds, but Vadai Rabbi Yeshua agrees in a case of Zov Me'elav, that it would be Shahakal. So there's a litany of questions here. Right? First of all, if we read Aval Kitchan Lo, that Rav Ashi is, you know, not holding like Rabbi Yeshua in the case of Kitchan, where you crush it, right? That Rav Ashi would say that's still Bar Priya Eitz, and Rabbi Yeshua would say no, that's a shakel, that's not the Priya anymore, except for, you know, Tirshin Yitzhar, fine. So then Rav Ashi's not like any Tana, and moreover, it would come out that, you know, in the world of Rabbi Yeshua, who seemingly is the halacha, right, in the case of Kitchan, if we're saying that Rav Ashi would hold that in the case of Kitchan, it's Bar Priya Eitz, but Rabbi Yeshua would hold it as Shahakal. But Shlakos is basically a case of Kitchan, right? You just crush it through the water. And then, you know, if we're saying that it's really Machlokos in Rav Ashi and Rabbi Yeshua, which is like already a funny thing, Tana Amora, then it would come out that Rabbi Yeshua actually holds that Shlakos would be Shahakal, which is against the halacha. Yet we pass on like Rabbi Yeshua. So how does that work? Thirdly, the Gemara in Pesachim is explicit that Rabbi Yeshua is related to the Svar of Zeva Alma. So what's the Ravid saying that he's just exerts a custody if he's not, you know, exactly saying the same Zeva Alma that Rav Ashi is saying? And then, fourthly, right, why is Rabbi Elazar, what is this point about Rabbi Elazar? Why is Rabbi Elazar like a suffix? You know, what is this case of Zov Me'elav that Rabbi Yeshua for sure agrees to and Rabbi Elazar suffix agrees to? Like, once it's not really telling their machlokas, so, because it sounds like we're saying that their machlokas is you know just about Xeris HaKasev in the case of Kitchan, but in Zov Me'elav it's a different thing than Kitchan. So, like, first of all, what makes Zov Me'elav different, and secondly, what's this Rabbi Elazar suffix like this? She was vada like this. Like, that's not even what they're talking about. So, how do we like apply them? So here we wanted to adopt our alumnus a little bit, which we said in the Rasha, that instead of saying that Rabbi Elazar holds for sure Michle Pri Kapri and Rabbi Yeshua holds that everything is in, you know, Michle Pri Lav Kapri, and then there's a new Shem Mashkin, and there's only Kedusha on the Shem Mashkin of Tirshu Yitzhar, I want to say it's actually really not such as, it's only like a partial shift in that Lamedus. But Rabbi Yeshua is saying the same. Now for Rabbi Lazar, right, we said there's two, meaning if you hold that it only applies to Tirshu Yitzhar, so you have to say Michle Pri Lav Kapri. It doesn't make sense to say Michle Pri Kapri for like some things, but not for other things. That's just that's a din in the fruit, not a din in liquid. So it doesn't make sense to like have like unique liquids that some are Michle Pri Kapri, some are Michle Pri Lav Kapri. So Rabbi Yeshua must hold Michle Pri Lav Kapri, and then he must be saying there's only a shame Kedusha on these two things. But for Rabbi Elazar, it really could be there's two options. We don't have to time down. He could hold Michle Pri Kapri, as he said above in the Rashva. But you can also hold Michle Pri Lav Kapri. But we see from Bikurim that there's Kedusha, there's a close Kedusha that's feasible on all Peros. Or sorry, all liquids, meaning all liquid forms of every Pri. And then that he applies to Truma. So then, inasmuch as Truma can say like this, that perhaps the difference between Zov Me'elav and Kitchan is really that to achieve this new Shem Mashke, you need to have some active human initiative. Kitchan implies like an active crushing. You need to crush the fruit. Rezov Me'elav is just, it's like a different entity. It's like something that was contained in the pre that just like comes out on its own. That's not the pre. When you crush the pre, you're taking what was there and you're just putting it into a new form. But that's, you know, that's a unique shame. That's a shame mashke. But that shame mashke could, even though it's a new shame mashke, that could still have the bracha of Bar Priya Eitz. Meaning that the bracha could just be Metakin on that new, you know, special liquid form as well. But this Zov Me'elav, right? There's basically just this thing that just comes out of the pre that, you know, doesn't have this human initiative of crushing it and making it into the liquid. So that might be different. That there could be different. So, but if you hold Michle Pri Kapri, so then even Zov Me'elav is still the pre. You don't need human, meaning the lumnus of Michle Pri Kapri is not creating a new Shem Mashke where you might need human initiative. It's just that the liquid form is still the pre. So for Rabbi Elazar, maybe he holds Michle Pri Kapri, and then he would even disagree in the cases of Me'elav. But maybe he holds he agrees Michal Pri Lav Kapri, and then his machlokas with the Rishua, as the Rabbi says, just as Gzeras HaKasav about, you know, what Nushe Mashke has Kedusha. Is it just Tirshias or is it everything? But that's Gzeras HaKasav machlokas. Really, in regards to what's translatable to Brachos, everybody agrees that Michal Pri Lav Kapri, and therefore you have to, the only way to have a liquid, create this Nushe Mashke is through human initiative. So Rabbi Yeshua, for sure, because he holds Michal B'Lav Kapri, agrees that Zav Me'elav is Shakol, and Rabbi Elazar might agree to that, in as much as he could hold Michal B'Lav Kapri, or he called Michal B'Lav Kapri, and it's crucial in everything. So then we can say that when we said Aval Kitchan Lo, it doesn't mean Aval Kitchan Rav Ashi disagrees with, Rabbi Yeshua, and he's not in line with any Tana. We have to read it Aval Kitchan Lo, meaning, in the case of Kitchan, no, meaning even Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't hold that it's a shahakol, meaning he would hold that that's a prayer for eights because that's the human initiative that transforms into nushe mashke. And finally, by shlakos, right? Shlakos also, you're actively and purposefully, and you're facilitating the water which makes it into the soup. So that clearly has a human initiative necessary to maintain the bracha as in the in that case prayer for eights, but to maintain the purity. Okay, so next idea. Okay, so let's do this and we'll see what time it is. Try to get your stuff. It's awesome. So the Gemara. The Gemara never talks about beer. The Gemara talks about the case of Shisa Racha. Shisa Racha is this very, liquidy cereal, oatmeal kind of thing that the Gemara says is a shahako. So Tosfos is trying to explain why is it a shakol, right? In as much as we know, we have the din of Rav and Shmuel, the kosher Yeshua Chemisha Minim, Baruch Hamayim Rezonos. And Tosfos answers that Ein Zeh Lisod El Lishtos, right? This is not a, it's not satiating, it doesn't satiate, but rather it's just, you're trying to drink it. Finds a little bit ambiguous. Now, earlier on the daf, on the Lamed Chasam and Aleph, Tosfos talked about the case of beer, which the Gemara actually in Bava Basra says is a shakol, but it doesn't say why. So those provides three svaras. Right, first, he says that the barley that you make into the beer is not. You just say it's just the tom. It's just to provide taste. Then he says there's an ilay achrina but pas that the barley could have been made into. Obviously, he doesn't mean the beer. Maybe we talked about this before. Is ilay achrina what you can the final form or the ideal form? Clearly, Tosfos learns it's the ideal form because obviously you can't make beer into bread. But the barley that you made into beer, you could have made into bread. So that there's a ilay achrina b'pas. And finally says that you're drinking it's the shtia, and therefore it's a shahakol. Fine. So it's interesting to think about the relationship between A, all the different answers in Tosfos, and also the relationship to the answer in the Tosfos in the bottom of it. Right? First of all, one thing that we can set clear is that the answer of ilay achrina b'pas has to be relating to Brei Pri Adama. Right? Why is that? Okay, that's a paradigm. But why, it's impossible that that's related to Brei Mizonos.
Because then all Mizonos make a Mizonos.
Exactly, right? Meaning every Mizonos has an Ilay Achrina B'Pas, right? Every Mizonos is made out of grain. Grain could have made into bread. So once you learn that Ilay Achrina means an idealized form, so obviously all Mizonos have an Ilay Achrina B'Pas. So that can't be a reason why it's not Brei Mizonos. That it's impossible. So that has to be a reason why it's not a Brei Pri Adama. This thing, which makes sense, meaning we have cases like Kozet Zechita, which are like a worse off form of grain, and then they don't drop all the way to Shakol, they drop to Brei Pri Adama. So it is relevant to say why it's not only not a Brei Pri Brei Mizonos, but also why it's not a Brei Pri Adama. So it's still fine. Tosfos is doing that. It's a little, he doesn't explicate, but he thinks you know how to learn, so then he just takes it for granted. So, but what about these other two answers, right? Meaning the last answer, the Shia answer, seems like a very similar lashon to the bottom Tosfos, Ein Zeh Lisod El Lishtos, right? It's not satiating, rather it's to drink. So, and seemingly, right, the contrast of Soe, right, which we know is the definitional factor of Raymond Zonos, would indicate that Svara is addressing why it's not Raymond Zonos. So it would come out to the order of Tosfos is weird, because the first reason, the first reason we don't necessarily have an indication of which bracha is talking about, but we also understand what does that even mean, that it's just for Tom, so who cares? But the last one, it comes after the Rav Yehuda answer, but seemingly it's related to Mizonos, if you relate it, if you connect it to the bottom Tosfos. However, what's interesting is that the Gra, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about the case of Shemen Adiyah Nigro, not Verafua, which the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rambam, says Shakal, Tosfos, right, but even though a Nigron is now the Ikar and a Nigron is a Shlako, since it should be a Periyah Dava. So the Gras says, oh, it's like, he quotes, he says like this Tosos, that when you drink something, it's a Shahako. So what's interesting is he doesn't quote the first Tosos. Right? Obviously, in this case of a Nigron, there's no bravery, it's not grain, there's no bravery in its own involved. So obviously, the Gras applying the Svara to a case of Periyah Dava. Now, what's interesting is that the Gras doesn't just quote the first Tosos. He quotes the second Tosfos also. So similarly, the Gra thinks even the Svar of Ein Zeh Lissod El Lishtos is applying to Priya Dama, which is fascinating because the Svar, the you know, using the idea of Soe, it seems to be a Brahman Sonos connection. But, so fine. The Gra is difficult in two other ways. First of all, the Rambam, when he formulates the case of Shlakos, he uses the verb of drinking. So seemingly the Rambam doesn't necessarily have the Svar, and the Shulchan Aruch is based on the Rambam here, So what's the Gra doing by citing this point to explain Shulchan Aruch is really going into Rambam, who does use a verb of drinking by shlakos, which are obviously a liquid. We'll get to that, but at this point we assume it's a liquid. And secondly, the case of, you know, which we know is Brit Priya Eitz, which is Shemen Adiyah Nigron, that is Rafua. So that's also drinking. So what change, you know, what's the, is this Svara of, what is this Svara of drinking, and why does it only apply to, you know, a Nigron when the Nigron's Iker, but not when the Shemen's Iker? So we saw also, so before the Tshuva Rosh, we saw the Tosfos Rosh, right? The Tosfos Rosh in two different pieces directly links the Svaras of, he actually links the Svaras of Tam to the Svar of Ein Zeh Lissod El Lishtos, which is interesting because, right, in Tosfos, Tam and Shtiyah are two different Svaras. So what's going on here? What's the relationship between these answers? So we found the Tshuva Rosh. So the Tshuva Rosh, it's talking about a case similar. It's a little bit similar to beer. It's a barley water, mesa orim. I think the difference with it in beer is that because beer you ferment, so then the there's no barley that's extant. Versus here, there's barley that's extant on the bottom layer that creates this like cane daisa on the bottom of the mesa orim. But really, you're just drinking it for the water. And the rush there in the Tshuva makes two distinctions. He distinguishes it first from shtisa, which he says, while both shtisa and mesa orim, he thinks, have shahakol, because they're both only for tam. The shtisa does have barley kind of floating around in there, it's just very liquidy, but since the barley is only for tam, so then you make a shakal. So what does that mean? So it's illuminated by his distinction then from mesh shlakos, because he says that mesh shlakos, there, you're trying to make you're cooking the soup for the vegetables. This is a form of the vegetables. In Rebbe's Lashon, it's like a tavshel shel yirakos. That the whole intention is for the vegetables. And therefore, the bracha silver priya I ate, masha ain kain by both shtisa and mesa orim, where you're cooking it for the liquid, it's a tavshel shamayim, and therefore the bracha shahakal. So it seems that what is the svara of tam? The svara of tam is basically another way of saying that you're cooking it for the liquid, not for the vegetables. And it's not an ikavus tafel svara, it's that. What is this dish? This is a dish of vegetables. It happens to be liquidy, but really it's a dish of vegetables. Or no, it's a dish. It's water that you're putting in this the grain for tam. But that's neither Brei Priya Dama nor, meaning we see because he's contrasting to a thing which is Brei Priya Dama. So clearly he's addressing that svara also. That's neither Brei Priya Dama nor Brei Mizonos. So it seems like all three of these svaras, right, Ein Zeh Lissod El Lishtos, tam and shtiyah, are really just different forms of the same idea that you're only making this thing not for, you know, the grain, meaning the vegetable component, like in comparison to shlakos, but rather you're making it for the liquid, right? And Tosos splits it up in the first Tosos because he's really addressing both brachas. Like, first of all, it's not a brain of Mizonos because it's only there for tam, meaning the barley's not even extant in the beer, so it's not even like shtisa. It's not even like shtisa where the barley is like floating around. Then at the end he says, but why is it not, you know, even Brei Priya Dama like shlakos? To that he comes on and says, no, it's l'shtia, meaning you only want it for the water. This is a tavshel shamayim, not a tavshel shel. You know, in this case, it's the orim. And in the Bana Tosfos, and that's what the Gra is really citing, he's just kind of combining both these answers. Ein ze lisod, it's not a mizonos, because it's not lisod, ela lishtos, rather it's only for the water, and therefore it's not even Brit Priya Dhamma, because it's a tafshel shamayim, which is shahakal. And that's how the Gra can cite both. Right, and then for to answer the other questions for the Gra, right, for the, even though the Rambam says you can drink, that you drink shlakos, that you can drink shlakos, so here actually I wasn't so clear what the point was, because the way we formulated it is that he said the case in the Rambam where you're drinking shlakos, it must be that there's vegetables like be'ein in the water, then the contrast was in the case of anigron that it's meant, it's nase lamayim, it's meant for the water. So it wasn't so clear to me, because the chiluk we're making that the Rush makes between shlakos and, you know, and mace orim and shtisa is fully fundamental. It's not that you have to have necessarily the yirakos actually be'ein in the water. It's that you're making it for the vegetables. So I didn't really understand why Rebbe needed to have like the vegetables be be'ein. I don't know if somebody could say I have a potential shot, but I didn't understand why the vegetables actually have to be there if the whole point is that it's a tafshel shel yirakos, because that's what your intention is for, even if the vegetables aren't actually there in their full form. So maybe, I was thinking, maybe just what he meant was that the in a chanami, if even its vegetables weren't be'ein, it would still be a brei priya dhamma. But the Rambam, in as much as he's codifying halacha, has to come on to the most common, meaning the reason why your kavanas for the irakos is seemingly because the irakos are still going to be there. Now, even if the irakos aren't going to be there in a particular soup, since generally the way you make shakos is that your kavanas for the vegetables, so then it's called the tafshel shel yirakos. So maybe what Rebbe meant is that the Rambam's going to talk about a case, like talk about the case that sets the norm, even though in a chanami, if you had the case that broke the norm, it would still be a brei priya dhamma based on this fundamental svar that we've said in the Rosh. But that I don't know for certain, to be honest. Yeah?
How did we deal with the Rambam saying
right, right. So, meaning the shemen is getting a shahakol. Meaning with a nigrom, because the point is right. But a nigrom, we're saying that meaning even though a nigrom by itself is a brei priya dhamma, so it must be that your kavana is there for the nigrom. And this is why I think you have to come onto the kavana point, because we're saying the specific case of a nigrom made to be that a nigrom that you make to be made with to be mixed with shemen zayit. That's where it's apparently it's nase lamayim. So there, for sure, is fundamental, because I don't know who's saying it's a different, like, we're going to make it a, it's like a different on Nigron, the Nigron by itself.
It's there for the Shemin.
Exactly, meaning,
it's there for the Shemin.
Right, although it's, and you happen to be eating a not for a fua, so your Ikar is the Nigron, and therefore the Kaviya is on the Nigron. But it must be that the Nigron that you produce to be made with Shemin Zayas. Which I think actually makes a lot of sense, because the normal way to eat a nigrom with shemen zayis is for a fool when the shemen zayis is going to be ikar. So you're really just facilitating the shemen zayis. You, as an individual, happen to not be eating it for a fool, and therefore you can't make the bracha as the ikar on the shemen zayis. You have to make it on the nigrom. But since this is a nigrom that you produce, is nasa lamayim, because it's really just there to facilitate the shemen zayis in the case where you're eating it for a fool.
This explains like the
right, so it's interesting because we explain the Rambam differently here in the Ikar B'Tavos Sugya. We said that the point is that on a Hanas Ma'ayim level, the Shemen Zayis is an Ikar, and therefore that's why you still have to make the Bracha Kolalas. Here, Rabbi's not explaining like that. I think it could be that he's trying to, like, because we don't want to, like, strip the Gra and the Shulchan Aruch necessarily in the Mahalach of the Rambam, so in as much as they're, like, we're not necessarily explaining the Rambam here, we're explaining the Gra's understanding of the Shulchan Aruch going like the Rambam. Or we're just providing another possibility for the Rambam himself, but I don't know if we have to, because we already had our Mahalach in the Rambam. Right, but when you're eating for the Shemen Zayis, even though it's a liquid, right, it's beautiful, because the point was never that a liquid automatically is shahakol. What Shtia meant is that when you're making it for the Mayim, that's a shahakol. But the Shemen Zayis there, when the Shemen Zayis is the Ikar, you're making it for the olive oil itself, and right, because and that olive oil, meaning the whole sugya, why does olive oil have its own special bracha? But once olive oil has its own special bracha, so even, yeah, in a chanami, it's a liquid, but you're making it. It's not nasa lamayim. It's nasa l'shem azayis, and shem azayis bracha is bre priya eitz. So once that's the ikar, so it doesn't matter that it's liquid. The svar was never like this, like total distinction between liquids and solids. Liquid was just another way of saying it's nasa lamayim and mayim's bracha is shahakol. But even if you're a liquid whose bracha is not shahakol, so then you're nasa l'shem azayis, and shem azayis bracha is bre priya eitz. Okay. Should we keep going or? It's okay. I like it. Okay, I'll keep going for whoever wants to keep going. But you should feel free to leave if you're. It's past 11, so especially if you were on a flight today. I was also on a flight today, but I guess I have to stay. Okay, fine. No, actually, I'm serious. So fine. So it's against shlakos, right? So yeah, the Gemara in Lamech Ches on the base, where you go through this machlokas about shlakos, whether shlakos is bre'pri ha'etz or shahakol, and the right. Rav Chizda, so we have different opinions. We have Rav, we have Ula, and then Rav Chizda basically says that the case of shlakos, where shlakos are shahakol, is where the fruit was edible, you know, the vegetable is edible when it's a vegetable, Rav Chizda says there's certain cases of kirva soka that are, you know, those are the cases which are shahakol when they're shlakos. Those are the bre'priya dama when they're shlakos. And the case of tumi v'karsi are cases where it's a shahakol when it's shlakos. So what is that? So right here we have machlokas between Rashi and Tosas. Right, Rashi says that the cases of kirva soka are cases where the fruit was, you know, bad in its shahakol state, bad in its pre state, and then they're only good in its cooked form. So in those cases, those are bre'priya dama when they're shlakos, because that's what they're only because that is their ikar pri. When are they a pri? When they're cooked. Versus tumi v'karsi, those cases are good when they're raw and they're bad when they're cooked. So they're no longer they've lost their form. They're no longer the bishul is mevatel. They're shame pri. So it sounds like according to Rashi, bishul really is mevatel shame pri. At least for Rav Chizda and his reconciliation of the two shitas, right? Bishul really is a mevatel shem pri, and then the only way for shlakos to be bre'priya dama is if they are. That's just when they're good. That's when they are a pri. So if you had a case which is good both raw and cooked, so then the case of then those would be those really would be. Those would still be shahakol because the bishul they were a pri in their you know normal form and the bishul is mevatel that right for and fine but for Tosos right Tosos is explicit that case of tovin chayim kum v'shalin right that's good both when it's raw and when it's cooked is a bre priya dama in both circumstances. So clearly he doesn't think the bishul is mevatel the bishul is not mevatel the pri. And it must be that the case of tumi v'karsi, why are they a shahakol? Because they are they just get so much worse off by the cooking. They're totally gavrua. But it's not that the bishul is mevatel them. It's just that this new form is really terrible. And it's interesting because in regards to the Gemara, then Rav Nachman comes in and he says. Ani Omer Machlokas Shnuyim tries to make it like a Machlokas Tanayim between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, which come back to, about whether cooked matzah, you can be Yossi with cooked matzah. Rabbi Yossi says no, and Rabbi Meir says yes, and Rabbi Nachman says, oh, it's just like this machlokas, right? Rabbi Yossi is saying that Bishel is mevatel, the fia, and Rabbi Meir is saying not. So Rabbi Yossi holds shachos is shahakol. And he said, then Gemara says, velohi is not true. Really, everybody, both of them hold shachos are very priyadama, and there you need bani and tam matzah. Like, okay, we'll come back to what that means. So for Rashi, right, the lohi sounds like, no, everybody agrees Bishel is not mevatel liafia. So it's interesting that the lohi is really not like Rav Chisda. Versus for Tosos, the lohi, the etzem svar of the lohi is consistent with Rav Chisda. Fine. So then, right, what's interesting is that Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman, he presents Machlokes Tzaim, and then lohi, well, let's see exactly who the lohi is, who's actually talking there, but then Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak comes in and says, you know, Ula is really incorrect. Really, all shlokos are Bar Priya Dama, because we have a different version. You know, Rechiv Abba, who was like a great Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and he really he was better than Rabbi Yefes, who Ula was working like. And really, Rabbi Yochanan held Rabbi Yochanan held that shlokos were Bar Priya Eitz. So, right, the main question we want to address is, why does Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak feel the need to say that the two Ula and Rav Yefes are Shavisha, they're totally mistaken, that Rav Yochanan really held that all shlokos are for Bria Dama, even to Mikarsi, because right, once we have Rav Chisda's reconciliation, so why don't we just reconcile? Why don't we just say, yeah, Ula was only talking about a case of two Mikarsi, just like Rav Chisda says. Why don't we just say the same, what Rav Chisda did with Rav and Ula, why don't we just do the same thing with the different opinions of what Rabbi Yochanan said? So for Rashi, first of all, it's interesting because this is not really an answer, but it's just an interesting point that, and maybe where Rashi like realized this from, is that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, meaning Stam Rav Nachman without a last name, without a, you know, naming his father, for Rashi and Shas is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So once Rav Nachman already says the machlokas, so then Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak seemingly also it's the same person, so he's also holds machlokas. That's not an answer to why it's a machlokas, but it does line up well. But perhaps for Rashi we could say one of two things. First of all, right, we already pointed out that the low he, the svara of the low he, the bishul is mevatel afia. Or sorry, the Bishel is not Mevatel Afiyah. It's the exact opposite of how Rashi understood Rav Chisda, right? Rashi understood Rav Chisda saying Bishel is Mevatel Afiyah. And the only case where it's Shlokos are Pre Eitz is where the, you know, that is its pre. So, you know, there's no, but once the Lohi comes in, once the Gemara, the Sama Gemara seemingly comes in and says Velohi, so it's not true. Really, Bishel is not Mevatel Afiyah. So, perhaps that's why Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak wasn't, meaning, not that necessarily he came after the Lohi, but that the whatever this, you know, this Svara, to say it's not true, really Bishel is not Mevatel Fia, that was compelling for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak also, and therefore he didn't want to pick, you know, use Rav Chisda's reconciliation. Right, so. Right, so. So that's probably the best way to explain it for Rashi. Now, for Tosos, it's interesting, right? For Tosos, the Lohi actually did agree with Rav Chisda, so obviously you can't use that Svara. And also, Stam Rav Nachman for Tosos is Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, so there's no indication in that regard. So why did Tosos understand that it was a Machlokas? So, seemingly, what we're going to have to say for Tosos and for the Rosh is just a simple svara, basically, that they didn't think that that Ula was, you know, was, they didn't like this idea that Ula was only talking about two Mikarsi. Ula seemed to be making a general statement, and okay, so. Right, so we said seemingly what we have to say for the Rosh and for Tosfos suggests we don't have such a great answer to what they why they don't think, you know, why they would say that Rav Nachman Yitzchak doesn't want to make the reconciliation, but seemingly just they don't want to limit Ula. So that could be related to the Gemara, to the Shita on Lama Testament Aleph of this Talmud who was right, he said that even in the case of cabbage, which is one of the cases which Ula used for the reconciliation, that that even right that he thought it was a case of shahakal to Bredama, that the Ozu Talmud over there thought that was even a shahakal. See that. But that's really more of a Jackson for Rashi, because that there, meaning for Rashi, that's a swara that's unique. That you know, that in the case of a cabbage, that in its cooked form, that like is ikar priyo. For Tosos, that it's just not mevatel the shem pri, so it's not really that case is never the chiddush. The chiddush was in tumi karsi, that's garua. That's an element of reconciliation that's controversial. Not necessarily right there, but seemingly we just say that he doesn't want to limit ula. What's interesting is that not necessarily that Tosos in the Rush give a swara, but that they really indicate that they were bothered by this question, and actually they utilize this point to defend the Rif's psak. But, you know, even this, by shlakos being bur priya dama, even for tumim karsi, right? Because as extraneous law shown, that basically what they say is that in as much as we see that you know, Rav Nachman or Yitzchak made it into a machlokas then called ula shavishta, and you know, said that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is going to like everything instead of reconciling. So, the fact that they don't reconcile is itself the proof that Rav Nachman Yitzchak assumed that you know didn't like the fact that he called Ula Shavishta is him denying the reconciliation. Now that's not a svara for why he denies reconciliation, but it's Tosfos, and then Tosfos used that to justify the Rif's psak, not like Ula's reconciliation. The Rush ends up saying himself that, you know, even though that's not the, even though he doesn't like, even though Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is not utilizing reconciliation, and we don't need it lamaskana, the Rosh just likes the svara and paskins like it. But he says, in a chanami, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is for sure not working like that. And that's, you see that by the fact that he's making ula shavishta. Fine. Okay, so, and then just to close it out, I was giving a few details, but I think that's the basic. That's the part of the sugya that's critical. We finally have the sugya of Bishal Achar Bishal, right? So we know Argamar here says that, right? That presents the machlokas in Reimer and Rabbi Yossi about whether you can be yotze matzah with cooked matzah, and he says that you Rabbi Yossi says you can, Reimer says you can, and the Gemara here in Brachos says. Right. Velohi, it's not comparable to shlakos. Really, everybody say the shlakos are priya eitz, but the case there of but Rabbi Yossi is due to tam matzah. I forgot what that is. Now psachim, that maskara isn't there. Right, it just says, right, it's coming on to cooked korban pesach, and it says that if you roast the korban pesach and then you cook it, so we have an opinion that says it's still also. We say that that's like Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says that, you know, just like when you cook a matzah, it's no longer you're not Yossi with it. We'll understand exactly what that means. So too that you know when you bake when you cook a korban pesach, it's that's called basham avushal, right? That's cooked. So what's interesting is that, right, the Yerayim extrapolates from the Gemara in Psachim that we paskin, even though we say ein bishal achar bishal, once you cook something on Shabbos, you can't cook it again. We do paskin bishal achar afia and bishal achar tzli, because we see from Rabbi Yossi that you cook it, and it's called cooked, even though you already roasted it. Now, the problem that's pointed out by his interlocutor, the Rav Yah, is that the Gemara in Brachos rejects that in the Maskana. So, okay, the Gemara in Pesachim didn't come onto that Maskana, the Rav Yah would say, and Tosfos says it also, that the Gemara in Pesachim doesn't come onto that Maskana because it's not relevant, it's not necessary there. But still, we see the Maskana. That's not the reasoning by Rabbi Yossi. right? And seemingly the way that Ravia and Tosos are reading the Gemara in Brachos is that the Havamina is that it's Mevatel, that cooking is Mevatel, you know, Afia and comparably to Shlakos, the form of the pri. But Kamash Milan, no, it's not. He needs Tam Matzah. It doesn't taste like matzah, right? So once it doesn't taste like matzah, but by Shlakos we see that he holds very prayer dhamma and Bishul is not Mavatel, you know, the original thing, and therefore it shouldn't be Mavatel. Bishul should not be Mavatel Afia on Shabbos, and it should be Mutter Bishul Achar Afia. Fine. So fine. So I understand how the Rav Yah learns the Gemara, but how does he Reim learn the Gemara? So seemingly you have to say it's like this, right? Anyways, this Tam Matzah point is kind of interesting because, like, what does it mean? Like, why does matzah have to be like? Why does it have to have Tam Matzah? So perhaps what does Tam Matzah represent? I mean, we're saying Lemaskana, right? He holds, right? If he holds Shakos Bei Pridam, he has to hold Bishul's not Mavatel, the Tzura. But maybe Tam Matzah is that if it tastes cooked, I mean, Tam Matzah means it tastes baked. And if it tastes cooked, then it does have the status of cooking. I mean, maybe it wasn't mavatel tzura. It wasn't whatever the tzura of matzah that existed. It was not mavat. It wasn't mavatel that baking and making into a new tzura. But it did give it shem mevushal. It is now cooked in as much as it tastes cooked. And that actually is much more comparable to the conclusion of Pesachim. And that's how the Urayim could work with both conclusions. Because there, the Isser is not to not have it sli. The Isser is Bashal Mavushal. It's to have it cooked. Mm-hmm. It's not just not the original thing. It actually is the new thing. It is cooked. So the Havamina in Brachos is not necessarily that Shlakos don't have to be called cooked. They're just not the original thing. Meaning, if you want to say that Shlakos are Shlakos, all you're saying is that it's not the original form. But you're not saying that, like, it is this new thing. So the Havamina, seemingly, is that, yeah, it's not, Bishul is Mavatel, it's not the Tzura anymore. Kamashalan, no, it isn't Mavatel the Tzura, but it can like, add something, it can give it a new Shem Mavusha. And that's comparable to the Maskana. In Pesachim, which is not just, it's not just not roasted, it is cooked. Mm.